welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Oh, praise God, eh? No doubt you're all thinking, well, why did he show us that then? You're all coming up with your own sort of, you know, scriptural interpretations and stuff like that. Well, I thought I'd show it because it made me smile. And what's the first reason? It's just great, isn't it? Because people's expectations of that little old lady when she wandered out was, this is going to be another awful one. This is going to be another one that's really cringy. And expectations were at an all-time low at the front there. And suddenly she starts singing and turns out she may be 80, but she's still got a great voice, isn't she? And I suppose one message for all of us is, you're never too old. She said her friend, had said to her, just go for it. You know, and if there was ever a word for the church now in this day, it's just go for it. All right, just go for it. Even if you've been waiting 80 years, now's the time. Just go for it, because you never know. And it was great seeing in that, you couldn't see it so clearly on the purple wall in here, but when you saw the shots of the audience as well, they're all beaming and they're all smiling. Because expectations were a low. They weren't, especially when there was a bit of laughter at the beginning and just pointing out the curtain and everything, and then she wanders on, this tiny little old lady. But they're beaming. And even most of the young people watching it, they're all beaming and excited because it's like their granny is up there, you know, giving it all. She's just going for it. And sometimes the world's got very low expectations of the church now. You know, there's been a lot of bad publicity for the church, and we brought it on ourselves by and large. I don't just mean this one. I mean all of us together, the church. And, you know, I reckon when the church does stand up and does have a go and belts out a song in terms of the way it's living its life, I think actually a lot of the time the church is standing up and they're smiling and they're clapping because they're just happy to see the old lady. We've been around 2,000 years to see the old lady having a go. Amen. And I think we've just got to have a go, you know. Shall we just have a go? We might fall flat on our face or flat on our bottoms, but who cares, because we might just succeed. And actually, if there's a God involved, and I kind of think there is, we're gonna, that's the exciting thing, we're not gonna sink in the water when we try and step on it, because Jesus is going to be there. And even if the water did start to creep up a little bit, he's only going to pick us up and walk with us. We're called to walk on water. We're called to be the people that make a difference. We're called to be the Janie Cutlers of this world that think, I'll have a go. I might be 80 years old, but I'm going to have a go. And she gets up there and all those people are clapping and cheering. I mean, I don't know if she's going to go all the way through, but like she said, she had a good night. Yeah. That might have been it, you know. Well, she's going to have a second chance presumably later on, because she'll be in another part of the show, but she's had a go and she's had a great night. And I think the church is going to find, you know, when we actually start doing something, we're actually going to kind of like it. Yeah, actually this is good, you know. It's better than sitting at home watching Britain's Got Talent. Hallelujah. Yeah, that got sent to me on an email, and unusually I decided to watch it. And I thought, yeah, that's cool. Last year I got into Britain's Got Talent and watched loads of it. This year, that's the first bit I've seen of this year. But it's obviously all happening in Glasgow. But I've got some questions for you this morning that fit in with that, really. That idea of the church just going for it. But here's another sort of way to go for it. And it starts around this question. What if prayer made a difference? I was asking it Thursday night at the God encounter. It just hit me, and it hit me really personally. Now, you know me, so you know about me, and you know that it's a strange question for me to ask, but what if prayer made a difference? What if I believed and you believed that prayer made a difference? Would we be happy with how we are right now? What if the way we pray made a difference? Who believes that God answers prayer? So why aren't we praying all the time? If we got a notice up here in the library that anybody who was willing to join the library here this morning, downstairs at the front desk, just sign here, we'll give you £50. How many would join the library this morning? Well, you're a very shy bunch. I just offered you 50 quid. What about if they were offering £2,000 to join the library this morning? Even if you were a member already, as long as you signed up, you could have £2,000. Anyone going to join?
Yes.
Oh, a few more. You're a right reserved bunch. I've given you that £2,000 just to make a point. What about if signing up at the library this morning, you could get £200,000? How about that?
Yes.
Just by joining, you know. You don't actually have to get any books out. You're just going to join, you can have £200,000. You know, if there's something on offer that's a genuine offer, you're going to go for it. But, you know, God's a lot more than £200,000. God's a lot more than just my sparkly library card, and yet you have to sign up. But what if we really did sign up? What if we really believed that God answered prayer? And I say what if, because as I've thought about it, I thought, well, if I did, I would pray more. What if, who believes that God can heal, when you pray, people get healed? What if we really believed it? When we met someone who was sick, what would we do? Because we'd be such selfish pigs if we didn't, wouldn't we? If we believe God heals and we don't pray for somebody. Well, let's have a look at the Bible. Always a good option. Go to Romans chapter 8. Don't worry if you haven't got one. I'm going to read it to you anyway. It's time to go for it. I got Nike trainers on. Just do it. Just go for it. And we know that in all things, this is from verse... Verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. What if we believe that? And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. What if we believed it? Because then whatever happened in our lives, we know that it's going to work for good. And we wouldn't have to moan about anything. You know, what if we believe that? Whatever the circumstances, whatever we go through, knowing that God doesn't want us to go through all kinds of stuff, but he will use whatever we go through for good. You know, he doesn't make people sick to teach him a lesson. What kind of a father would that be? But he can take a sickness and do something good in someone's life through it. You know, we can't always see the good that's done because our measures of good can be very different to God's. He's interested in a people who are going to heaven, in people who have a relationship with him. He's interested in a people who've got life in all its fullness, not life in all its Xbox. All right, he's got a slightly different measure, but it is for all good. What if we believed it? There'd be nothing to moan about ever. You know, the sermon went on too long. You wouldn't have to moan about it because you know it would work out for good. Somewhere, something in it that was said would be good. What if, you know, you've fallen on hard times, you haven't got the income that you used to have and you're struggling a bit? All that you know is that God is going to use it for good. You don't know what kind of good. You might not even see what kind of good this side of the grave, but it's going to be good. Thing is, a lot of the time you do see it. Yeah? For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brothers. What if we believed that this was actually true, that God actually wanted us to be like Jesus? What if we believed it? What if we walked around as the church knowing that God was changing us to be like Jesus? In the way Jesus walked with faith, in the way Jesus loved people, in the way that Jesus worked in power and healings and anointings, and the way he led people, the way he inspired people, the way that this small man who just lived in this obscure place 2,000 years ago is still turning the planet upside down. What if God was making us like it? Well, like it says there, wouldn't we be turning the place upside down? Isn't this exciting? What if we believed it? What if Christians believed that God answered prayer and started to pray, God, I thank you that you've made me like Jesus. God, I thank you that I'm here to turn this town or the town you live in upside down. Yeah. I thank you that I'm here to love with the love of Jesus. Yeah. I thank you I'm here with the joy of Jesus. I thank you that I'm here to inspire others like Jesus. Yeah. I thank you that I'm here to work miracles of power like Jesus, because he's conforming me to be like Jesus, because he's the head of us all. He's like the firstborn, but we're all his brothers and sisters, I suppose, but we're all with him. It's kind of not sisters, because the son's got the full inheritance. So you're sister by sex, but a brother by your position. Yeah. We'll keep going. Won't go there today. All right. And so those he predestined, he also called. What if we believed that God had actually called us? Yeah. Lynn Presley. Except you wouldn't have been Lynn Presley when he first called you, I suppose. But Lynn, I want you to come and follow me. That happened. Yeah. She knows the Lord. God called her. Yeah? What if Nigel believed, that's a bit personal, beg your pardon, but you know where I'm going, that God had called him? He would just, I think he does. But you can just have your head a little bit higher. God chose me. Anybody listening to this message this morning, let me tell you, God called you. That's why you're here. Nothing happens by accident. Nothing happens by chance. You're here so that you knew this morning that God has called you. He's chosen you. He said, I want you. Why does he want you? Because he loves you. And because he thinks you're awesome. But he doesn't want you to live in the state you've got yourself in. He wants you to be transformed into the likeness of his son. Okay? But the thing is, when he wants that, he makes it happen. Yeah? What if we believe we were called? What if we were actually the sons of God? You know? The children of God. Wouldn't we just have our head a little bit higher? Might we have the courage of Janie to go and sing on live national television? You know, she's doing that for herself to have a good time. But what about if we were doing it for God to have a good time? You know? But let's have a look at this a bit though. Those he predestined, he called. And those he called, he also justified. What does justified mean? It means you're put in a position where you are the old sort of Sunday school thing was just as if I had never sinned. But it's like he takes you from a position where you're not right with God and puts you in a position where you are right with him. Yeah? It's an exciting place to be. You're totally justified in praying. Because that's what God wants you to do. There can be no sense of, I don't know if I'm good enough, I don't know if he'll accept me, I don't know if he'll let me in the throne room, I don't know if he's there, I don't know if he'll listen. You are justified. You've been called, but he hasn't sort of left you there with a call, wondering where he is. He said, right, I've called you, and I've placed you here, right before me. And your sin, if you ask Jesus to come into your life, if you acknowledge him as Lord and Saviour, your sin is wiped completely clean, and you can stand completely clean before God as one of his children. What if we believed there? Wouldn't we leave here with a smile on our face? I belong to the biggest family on earth, and nobody else can change that. I'm glad some of you are getting a little bit excited. This, I don't know, I just wonder if we actually ever believe this, because if you start to think about it afresh, it's so amazing. God, Elohim, the Creator God, he wants a relationship with me. He wanted it so much, he called me, and then he justified me. What else does he do? And those he justified, he also glorified. He pours his glory, his love, his joy, his peace into that person, so that you go around looking like Moses on the Ten Commandments with the glory shining at your face. Do you remember that film? It was old. Yeah, I know. And every time he'd seen God, his hair stuck up a bit more and got a bit more white. They were trying to show that it was the glory of God that was reflecting him. Could be a dangerous doctrine that would keep many away from the church, couldn't it? Meet with the Lord and your hair will go white. I'm going, no. Too busy using Just for Men. He glorifies you. And when he glorifies something, it's not like he says, well, okay, I'll let you in. You're all right, but I'll let you in. You just stay out of my sight, because what you've done, you're just in by the skin of your teeth. But all right, you're here. No. He grabs you, and he puts you in a position and says, look, this is my child. Look, everybody, look at this. You know, he's proud of his children. He loves his children. He loves to glorify them, to show them off. He loves to pour out his favor on them. He loves to give them good things. So what shall we say in response to this? It says here, you know, what if we believe this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Doesn't matter who comes up against us. If God's for us, it's tough on them. In fact, that's why Jesus says, pray for your enemies. Because people that stand against you are there in a risky position. Not from you, hopefully. But from blessing being removed. And favour being removed from their lives till they're unprotected. Who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. This is why we can never doubt that God loves us. Whoever you are. Because what kind of a God would sacrifice his son, would allow his son to go through it, as in Jesus, and then turn around and say, but you've done too much. Jesus, that sacrifice of Jesus wasn't enough for you. It'd be making you and your sin bigger than God. The only way you could not be forgiven for doing something here on the earth like that is if you're bigger than God. A bit like the Beatles, we're bigger than Jesus now. That famous quote. That's what you're saying. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? What if we believe this? He will give us all things. All things. The word used is, I can't actually remember, but it's something like charizomai or something like that. It means grace. It means favour. He will give you all grace. He will give you all favour. He will give you everything you need. It also implies the miraculous. He will give you all things. All favour, all grace, all miracles. Everything you need is there for you. How do you get it? You ask. What if we believed prayer actually worked? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? In other words, if someone condemns you, if someone speaks negatively of you, if someone writes you off, if you're in God, it's irrelevant. If God says, you're holy, you're my child, you're saved, you're righteous, what does it matter what someone else thinks? What does it matter what someone else says? What if we believe that? There's a lot of what ifs today. But can you see, if the answer to this question was we do, I think we'll step up another level here. Because we do, kind of, but then you sort of think, but if I believe prayer changes things, if I believe that God answers prayer, why don't I pray more? The answer must be, I've not really believed. I've kind of believed. But I think God is saying, actually, there's another place here. Come and have a look. Come and have a look at this. I've got something else for you here. I want you to step into a new place where you're seeing prayer being effective in your life. Yeah? I think that's what God's coming at us from all this lot. Who shall separate us from Christ? Trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger is sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors. What if we believed it? No matter what happens, we cannot be taken away from Christ. What if we believe that? How much more daring would we be? How much more courageous would we be? Hallelujah. You're going quiet on me again now. Yeah, sorry. Wake up. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why do you think Paul accomplished so much in his life? He believed it. Why do you think the early church started in an obscure little country, Palestine, in the middle of nowhere, Because it was the middle of nowhere. It was, the Roman Empire was there. This was the middle of nowhere. Roman Empire was where it was at. That's where you find Simon Cowell doing Britain, Rome's Got Talent on a Saturday evening. He'll be in Rome. He'll be in somewhere important so that it can be broadcast to the Empire. This is a tiny little outskirty place where there's the Jewish people, which most people despise, started by Jewish people, which people they despised anyway. And suddenly this is taking over the world. Why? Because people believed they couldn't be separated from the love of God. They believed that even if the emperor wanted to play games with them, with lions tearing them and their children apart, this is the incredible bit, it didn't matter because God would use it for good. That's a sacrifice. He did use it for good. The church has been established on the entire planet by a group of people that believed him. All right, because being, when it says it will make things work out for your good, it doesn't necessarily mean it will work out for your comfort. In fact, I don't think it means very much that at all. But you will discover what life is, and life in all its fullness. You will discover that life here, whilst wonderful to be enjoyed and God-given, and let's have a good time, the life beyond this is a lot better, and this is only transitory, so we might as well do the best we can, working for the Lord while we're here, having a good time, looking ahead to what is coming, because that's going to be good. Alright? This is good, but that's going to be good. What if we actually believed this, and we lived like we didn't belong in this world, but that we lived in another kingdom? What if we believe that Jesus really was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we were part of his kingdom and subjects in his kingdom with dominion and authority to change what's happening in the here and now? What if we actually walked in that and said, I'm going to establish that? What if we started speaking out what we believe, what we read in the Bible that God has done for the world as a form of prayer, expecting to see it change and come into order? Amen? What if we actually did that? What if we actually prayed? Hallelujah. Don't worry, I'm not putting you into condemnation. Some of you might be thinking, well, I do pray. Now, God's saying, fantastic. Now try this. To everyone, wherever you're at. This is the great thing about God. He comes on in at every single level. Whatever level you're at this morning, whether you've never prayed, or whether you're a real prayer warrior, this morning God's just saying to you, what if? To inspire you to another level of closeness and intimacy and purpose with him. Hallelujah. That's what Sunday mornings are about. They're not about a dry talk, a little bit of education. There's something coming from the Lord to inspire us to run with what he's got. You know, I don't want Scarborough to be the same in 5 years' time, because this church has been here 5 years, so we should be having a positive influence on the society around us. You know, what we've got is good. Let's get it out there on them. Sometimes the church gets so worried that the world's going to get its stuff on us. Let's go and get our stuff on them. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what Street Angels is about. It's going out to the nightclubs, which is where we go, isn't it? And it's mixing with people. It's not being afraid that all that nastiness is going to get on us, if you like. It's, let's go and take the goodness of God. Let's show them that the church isn't here to judge you just because you're drunk. We're not here to judge. That's not our responsibility. They'll be judged at the end of their life before the Lord if they don't do anything about it. But they have unconditional love and forgiveness being offered to them. And our job is to show them that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's just one small thing. There's all the other things happening as well. Hallelujah. Claire's got to come and talk to you soon at some point, because she's starting the new debt advice centre and helping people. It's not just about debt, but about getting your finances in order. And she's got this job working at the Rainbow Centre, and she needs a great team to come alongside her. But she's going to talk about that a little bit more. I'm just throwing out a couple of seeds now so that when you do it, so that you can join in with that. It makes a difference in our town. You might not want to be a street angel, but you think, well, maybe I can do that. She'll want people who can go and visit people, or people that can see people when they come in. But she'll talk more. We've got youth angels on the edge of coming. And we need to explore what we're going to do with youth angels, and that's how that's going to develop, to work alongside the street angels, but aimed at youth, particularly helping them find more healthy lifestyles rather than a lifestyle of excessive drink and drugs, but not by judging them for that, but being there to help them and give them hope for something else. Amen? All these things happening, it's exciting. And just because you're not in one of them doesn't mean that you're not part of it. It's about everybody finding what they're called to do. What if we actually believe we were called? I'm called. I have a purpose. I'm justified and even glorified. That one's a little bit sort of out there, isn't it? God has glorified me. Because we tend to think all the glory go to God. And God says, yeah, all the glory go to me. And now I'm pouring my glory onto you. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. I'm not going to get anywhere I was going to go today. It's your fault. Hallelujah. I was only supposed to be in this passage a couple of minutes. Let's go to the next one quick. I do want to get through some of this. The next one's in John 14. This is back to what if prayer made a difference. I tell you the truth, John 14 verse 12. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. What if we believed it? What if we believed, like that passage in Romans says, you have been conformed to the likeness of the Son. You will do what I have been doing. But then Jesus kicks in the incredible button and says, he will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And he says, and this is how it will happen. This is how you will see those greater things, whether they're greater acts of love, greater acts of compassion, greater acts of the miraculous. He says, this is how it will happen. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. What if we believed it? I mean, he also taught ask, seek, knock. He also taught persistence in prayer. Sometimes things take a while to get established. Sometimes it's like Daniel when he was praying and he didn't get an answer for 9 months. He didn't know why he hadn't got an answer. He could have given up and said, God doesn't care. God's not with me anymore. But he kept going. And the angel arrived, as it says in the book of Daniel, with the answer to the prayer that he was seeking. Sometimes it's an ask, seek, knock. But he says, I will give you what you ask for in my name. Just do it. Just go for it. Just do a Janie Cutler at Britain's Got Talent. Just step out in front of everybody and surprise them.
Yeah.
That you're not just a little old lady, 2,000 years old, but there's something alive and dynamic and modern and 21st century in you that's here to change the place. We're here to make a positive difference. We're here to see the world change. We're here to see the church grow in this town, not just this church but the church. Hallelujah. Thanks, Eileen. Hallelujah. What if we believed it? We'd get so excited. You would be standing up and clapping and roaring and saying, my goodness, God's gonna give me anything I ask for in his name. It's not for you to go on a selfish whim. But he's going to give you anything you ask for. He wants to prosper you so that you can prosper others. He wants to bless you so you can bless others. He wants to heal you so that you can heal others. Yeah. It's time to go and have no regrets. Oh, come on, next one. I haven't got time to preach from that one. Stop holding me up. Here's another one. What if we believed this? I really do think we'd be... If I was sitting out there, let me just be honest with you for a minute, I probably wouldn't have stood up at that point and cheered. But I'm thinking, God, show me this somehow, so that I actually grab hold of this. Now, this next scripture I'm going to read you, I don't know, maybe you are prepared for this yet. But if we believed it, we'd be so excited. We might actually even stand and clap and praise the Lord. Because we'd be saying, yeah, I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. And I don't care what other people think about me. Some of you are thinking, I don't want to do that. And if I was sitting out there, I'd be thinking, I don't want to do that. But I'm already standing up, so I'm fine. But maybe there's just something within us that needs to get a little bit more Pentecostal. You know, a little bit more, yes, this is true. Are you ready for this scripture? Are you ready, 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 ready? I'm not going to tell you where it is. Because then you'll start reading it and you won't listen to it and you won't be ready to jump up. Or you might jump up and your Bible will fly across the room. I wonder if anybody will. Now you don't know what to do. You're thinking, I might be the only one sitting. This is not fair. He's messing with me. Yep. Anyway, this is the confidence. Ooh, okay, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. Ready? If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. The brave ones. It's the second half of the verse. And if you don't get up this time, the question is, what if you actually believed? I'll read that first bit, and then I'll read the second bit, and it finishes with the word him. Giving you lots of help here. Okay, right from the beginning, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Come on! I like you a lot. You're kind to me, if nothing else. Right, we've got one more scripture and we're going to do it, all right? This is in James. It's the one we looked at on Thursday night. And it's the final wrap-up for all of this one. Because not only what if prayer actually made a difference, and boy does it when people actually believe in it, or believe in the God who answers it, what if the way we pray also made a difference? What if sometimes that's the reason we're not seeing any difference? Because instead of praying, we're having a think session. I know so many Christians who say they've been praying for 3 hours and all they've done is sat and thought about it. Praying is speaking. God is up listening. Okay, you can think and meditate in your mind, but if you want to see God really dramatically answering your prayers, you've got to speak with the authority that he's got. When Jesus was here, he spoke and people were healed. He did something. When God created, he says, and God said, and God said, and God said. It doesn't say, and God thought, and God thought, and God thought. It's about engaging. It's about being active. It's about being passionate. It's about shredding all the squashedness that everybody's tried to get us in. You just stay down there. No, burst out. Be a Janie Cutler and go on stage. James. Chapter 5, verse 16, the end of it. I haven't got time to do it all, so we'll just do this one sentence. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. That's a naff translation. Well, it isn't totally. But it loses the energy. That word effective in the Greek becomes in front of the word prayer. The effective prayer. In other words, and the word powerful is a word that's all the same word. It's been put together. There's one Greek word. It's been expanded into two there. It's a word that means powerful. It's a word that means fervent. It's a word that means dynamic. It's a word that means energy. It's a word that means passionate. The effective, passionate, fervent, dynamic, energetic, going for it prayers. And we wonder sometimes why we didn't see anything happen. It's because God's saying, well, have you read my words? That's what we got to do. That's why sometimes if you're in a prayer group and it's one of those prayer groups where everybody sits around like this, you know, most of the time and only says stuff, it can get a little bit frustrating because you're thinking, we could be accomplishing so much more here. Because God said, and there was light. And God said, and there was creation. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. The word righteous is the word that similar to what we've been talking about, except that it's dikaios in Greek, and it means like living according to what you believe. Living out what you've already got. In other words, what if we believe prayer made a difference? We'd do it. This is what that word righteous means here. It means doing the right thing according to the revelation that you've had. Yes? Which is why people's prayers can get answered if all they've ever done is thought about stuff and prayed quietly. Because that's the revelation that they've got. But God is giving you more because he wants you to be more effective, more powerful, more dynamic, more energetic, so that you will see greater answers. You are called to see miracles. You, every single individual, is called to do greater things than Jesus himself did. What if we believe this? I think this town would change. I think Yorkshire would change. I think we would be impacting our nation and even our world. Hallelujah. This is not to put anybody under a sense of, ooh. This is to get everybody thinking, yeah. Come on. It's not a question of who you are. It's a question of who he is. It's like last week talking about God giving us vision. It's not the vision of who we are and what we can do and how we can pray. It's a vision of who he is. The reason prayer is powerful and effective and dynamic is because he is. All right? And if you just let him flow through you, then you will be too. Because actually it's just him doing it through you. Oh dear, hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God, amen. Don't know what that bit meant. Yeah, the word powerful, I suppose it could be that they've translated the word powerful there. It can just mean, the Greek word is polos, it just means much. So they either translated one word into two, powerful and effective, or to get the concept of much energy, much dynamics. It's an extreme word. That's why other translations say fervent. You know, it's much, enormous, quantity of, big, is what it's trying to say. The New Living Translation says this, the earnest, I'm not really keen on the word earnest, but they're trying to capture the Greek word, which is energeo, where we get energy from. All right? The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and wonderful results. That's cool. Yeah? So you can see what they're trying to get over here. If you pray like this, stuff's going to happen, says James. What if we believed it? All right, here's the message version. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. You're something powerful. Okay. What about the amplified version? Have we got time for the Amplified version? The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, which is dynamic in its working. This is a good sentence. Yeah. I'm going to give you the Amplified one again. You know, I reckon this is even worth cheering about when you think, that means me. I'm that person. I'll tell you what, I'll say person instead of man. So that all you women don't feel excluded. All right. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous person makes tremendous power available and is dynamic in its working. In other words, you're dynamic, you're dynamite in prayer. You pray, stuff happens. You've got more power than David Cameron. Even with Nick Clegg. You don't need a Nick Clegg. You're already powerful. Amen. And obviously you're more powerful than Gordon Brown. You know, there's a story of that was taking place in a church, and somebody was up the front speaking, preaching a sermon, and the vicar was going, and a man in the pew shouts out, "Hallelujah!" And the preacher preaches a little bit more, and the man shouts out, "Hallelujah!" And then he does it a third time. And so the chief steward or the chief usher goes over and just sort of says, "Shh." So he's quiet for a couple of seconds. And then the vicar reads something else out the word, and he says, "Praise the Lord! Glory to God!" He reads something else, and the steward goes over and says, "Shh." He reads on a little bit more. "Amen! Praise God!" And the chief steward goes, he says, "Look, be quiet." He says, "I can't. I've got religion." He says, "Well, you didn't get it in this place." In all the positive sense of the word, I pray here you're going to get religion. You're going to get it. you're going to get that this is exciting. This is worth shouting hallelujah to. Hallelujah. Eh? All right, have you got a few more minutes? Because I've gone over, but I want to finish. Are you ready for finishing?
Yeah.
All right. Elijah. This passage goes on about Elijah. To talk about the way this works in somebody's life, he goes on to Elijah and just says, Elijah was a man like us. Yeah, but so effective was his prayer life, he ends up starring in the Bible. Why did he star in the Bible? Because he just believed it. That's all it was. He believed God. But it says he was a man just like us. And if you read the stories about Elijah, which we can't now, you'll see that he's a man that got scared. He got afraid. He was a man that got worried. He was a man that got angry. He was a man that got stressed out. But here he is being used as an example for all of Christendom's prayer, because he was willing to get down into a sort of birthing position and cry out for the rain to come. He spoke and the rain stopped. And 3.5 years later he prays again and the rain starts. What about Paul, Saint Paul? Here's something he writes. My dear children, for whom I again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is forming in you. I don't know about you, but that sounds like he's being pretty fervent in prayer. He's describing to them how I'm praying for you. I am in the pains of childbirth. So much passion, so much energy, so much am I putting into this. You know, sometimes we have things going on in our lives and we're saying, God, why isn't this sorted? And God says, because you haven't prayed. People say, oh, it's probably because I haven't got enough faith. And what they mean by that is, it's God's fault. He hasn't given me enough faith. No, it's your fault. Now, there's no condemnation for that. No one's going to hold you and say, but maybe we could just believe with that little mustard seed of faith. Because it doesn't take much faith, because God is so big. Or how about Daniel? It talks of him with loud prayers, pleading. It talks about him putting sackcloth and ashes on, which was his symbolic way of repenting and interceding for his nation. He wasn't embarrassed, even though he was a leader where he was living, even though he was amongst the foreign people and it could cost him his job. He had several experiences with lions and things. But he didn't care, because something had grabbed him and he knew that prayer made a difference. What about Jacob? Bible describes him wrestling with God all night, so much that he puts his hip out. There's energy in there. There's passion in there. He wrestles with God until he comes into a right relationship with him. He's had a rubbish relationship with God up until that point. He's treated God like some distant being who's not really interested. He's treated God as something to be used. It's not that he doesn't believe in him. You can see by his actions he believes in God, but he'd rather not have much to do with him. He certainly doesn't want a relation with the man. And then there comes this night where he wrestles with God all night, getting it sorted. And we need some men in this nation who are willing to wrestle with God to get into a born-again relationship with him, where they don't care what others think, but they just want to be right with God so that they can do something that is right in this nation. Amen? We need more Jacobs. People that they know God exists, but they've never come into a relationship with him. And they might have doubts, and they might have fears, and they might have worries, but they're going to wrestle with God until they get it sorted. Even if it takes longer than a night, they're going to get it right. They're just going to have a determination. Passionate prayer. Jesus was so passionately praying for the birth of what was to come through his death that he was sweating blood in the garden. Jesus prayed passionately to give birth to a nation, a new people called Christians eventually. Daniel was praying fervently so his nation would be delivered. Elijah was praying and the physical world around him got changed. No rain to rain. Paul was praying and a church was formed. And Jacob prayed and found new life in Jesus. Well, in God. Hallelujah. What if
What if? What if?
Amen. Hallelujah. I think we need to stand. We're going to respond to this word. We have our tithes and offerings to take up. If you're a visitor this morning, you are blessed, and we love to have you with us. Don't feel that you've got to put something in. Well, I can tell you that when you do, what if the word of God was right? And it says that when you sow, what you give will be pressed down, shaken, and a good measure will be given back to you. What if that was actually there? Oh, it is. Hallelujah. I think also that we need to have some kind of response to this word, don't you? Let's have the worship team up. Let's take up our offering. While we're taking up the offering, you can either join in with the worship or just you be getting before God thinking, how do I need to respond to this morning? What does this what if word mean to me? Because it's going to mean different things to different people around this room. I tell you what as well, maybe there are people here this morning. Maybe there's only one person here this morning. And you're like Jacob. And you need to come into a position of knowing God in reality. Not just as an abstract concept. Not just as an idea. You need to have even maybe a period of wrestling coming up where you get everything sorted with God. But I tell you what, maybe this morning, what if you responded to this word this morning by giving your life afresh to Jesus, or giving it to Jesus for the first time? What if you decided, I'm going to take God's word seriously? What if you decided, I'm going to take God seriously? I think we need to give you, if you're one of those people that want to respond in that way this morning, we'll give you a chance to come forward, because we want to pray with you, because we want to see God established in your life. I think it's time for you to move into something new. I think it's time for you to come into a whole new level in your relationship with him. That's just people who are going to respond to get to know Jesus for the first time, or because they're recommitting their life to him. That's what we're going to do. After that, we'll see what else we do. We'll see what the Holy Spirit says. But let's just have a little bit of an interlude. Let's take up our tithes and our offerings, and let's just worship the Lord for a few minutes.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.